open your Bible to Acts 12 and verse 5, and I'll read the scripture. We'll have a word of prayer, then I'll calm down a little bit and say a little more about myself and before I get into the message. But I think it's very nice to be here. Thank you for Brian inviting me out. I think that's very kind. I've been to Missouri one time before. We went to Branson, but St. Louis was really neat. That giant architectural thing is very interesting to go to. I can't think of what it's called. Is it the architectural thing? The arch, yeah. Anyway, Acts 12 and verse 5. Let's read this passage, and then we'll have a word of prayer. And then, like I said, I'll say a few more things. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Father, I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity to be here. And Father, I pray and ask that you help me, Lord. Help me as I preach your word. Help me to be a blessing and a help to every person here today. Father, I pray you take care of our church. Bless those that are filling in for me. I pray they just have wonderful services. I pray your wonderful blessings would be upon this church. I know they're looking back at their past, and it is a glorious past. I'm sure filled with many ups and downs. But Father, I pray you help them also as they look forward to their future. And Father, what you have in store for them. Father, bless on this special day with the potluck, with the afternoon service, and all the things that will take place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my name is Brian Pyatt, and my wife is Sonia Pyatt. And we have 5 kids. And I think I heard my wife tell someone we have 11 grandchildren. One of them is still cooking, she said. I think she's just cooking or some of that. And so I have 4 daughters and 1 son. And my son is not married. But he's backslidden. So if you pray for him, it'd be so nice. I miss my son very much. He's 28 years old. And it got a little bit bitter. And so he fell away from the Lord. First time ever in his life. Never missed church. A faithful servant, and so it's very heartbreaking for us. But if you keep him in prayer, his name is Eric. I appreciate that. We've been pastoring in Edgewood for 21 years, and God has been good to us. We took a church where there was a lot of older members and a lot of folks that had been there a long time. A lot of them have since died. So the curse is definitely evident, and that's just the fact of life. I got very good at performing funerals my first couple years there as they passed on. Very, very wonderful people, extremely supportive. Some of them were a bit grumpy, but we praise the Lord for all that he does. And in the afternoon, I want to talk about social virtues. And it kind of goes along with the Sunday school teacher's message this morning, Brother Hawkins. He was saying a lot of things that are very, very similar to what I want to say in the afternoon. This morning, I want to talk about the power of praying churches. And if you think about it, was it 1917 or 1907 when the church was started? 07. It'd be neat to see one day if we get a readout or a printout in heaven, how much prayer was offered in a church like this over the years. I'm sure there have been times when you had to offer a lot of desperate prayers. There have been times when you were rejoicing and offering up some triumphant prayers. Well, there's probably been some times where you get a little carnal, apathetic, and you don't offer as many prayers as you ought to. But prayer is something that we need in our everyday life, because prayer does meet all the needs that we have. And so we need to keep praying. We need to learn to pray. So I want to consider just 6 things about prayer from our text in verse number 5 of Acts chapter 12. And the first thing I want to mention is the freedom of prayer. You know, I remember this is one time we had Weiss. I can never get that right. I know I'm supposed to say Weiss guy, but Weiss. Not Weiss. Anyway, he was out to our church, and someone in our church bought him an AR. And I got so jealous, man. I don't even know how I survived after he left. But then, you know, Biden got elected, and I said, oh, man, you need to get me. I said, you guys need to get me an AR before these things are banned. And so they did give me an AR. But I was just teasing. But, you know, when that whole woke revolution took over, I started getting a little panicked for America and for the Christianity that we had always known and the freedoms we had always enjoyed, and just how quickly with I don't know, it's COVID, the elections, I'm not trying to be all conspiracy theorists, but I mean all radical, but yeah, things went south. Well, there were nothing compared to what was going on in Jerusalem when this church was getting together and praying. The persecution, the martyrdom, the as we read, even the Apostle Paul consenting unto many of the Christians' death. So we always have freedom to pray, and freedom to pray may not be guaranteed in the Constitution, or maybe it is, I don't know, depending how you look at it, but it's guaranteed for us by God. And I suppose that there are things that can hinder our prayers. You can probably think of a lot of things. Well, those don't matter. You need to pray. We can always pray. You can pray where you're backslidden. You can pray where you're fired up. You can pray when things are going well. You can pray when things are going bad. But we always have the freedom to pray. Therefore, prayer must never be our last thought, our last resort. It must be our first thought. If you think about it, can you imagine there at the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem, as they're considering Peter being in jail, put to death, do you think they might have thought to themselves, oh, we need to organize, and we need to go in there, and we need to blow this jail, and we need to rescue him? Or maybe they thought, well, we need to get a petition together on Facebook. I guess they probably didn't have Facebook. Some kind of social media petition, and we need to petition the government to get him out of there. No, what they did was they organized a prayer meeting. So prayer must be our first thought, not our last resort. We have the freedom to pray, and we must take advantage of it. Down through the years, we've had a lot of, independent men, qualified, educated, experienced men. And I always harp on this: whatever you do before you might think you have it all together, but you might get down on your knees and pray and ask God to help you to do what you're wanting to do instead of just relying upon yourself. And then there's the fervency of prayer. Look at Acts chapter 12, verse number 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made. Remember, that's what we're talking about, was made, the freedom of prayer, without ceasing. And this speaks about the intensity that we are to pray for. Some folks consider this word intensity or fervency, without ceasing here, to be like stretching forth for something with all your might. Here, yesterday, we went to this place called Elephant Rocks. I think that's where you went. And Brian's kids could climb those rocks in no time. Because Brian's like, don't fall, you know, wait. I mean, they're up and down, and I'm thinking, oh, man, my knees hurt on these rocks. And I don't know where I was going with that, but we must stretch. Oh, that's right. Sometimes, like, if I see something on the ground, and I don't want to, like, bend, and I stretch. But that was not a good illustration. You should stretch forth or something. You know, sometimes my wife wears heels, and she'll look at me and says, I'm taller than you. And I said, I'm stretching. I'm trying to give it all I got. But we need to stretch forward with all our might to get something. And when we're praying for something that we know is God's will, we must never have a take it or leave it attitude. That's good preaching. It's not always easy living. I was thinking to myself, now it's been a while now since my wife and I have been praying for my son and nothing seems to be happening, and I know you want him to get right. I feel in my heart he should be back in our church. He's 28. I think we just have a new pianist who's like 25 or 26. And I'm like, well, that'd be a perfect match because they're both single and they're both Christian. So, you know, sometimes we have this take it or leave it attitude when we know it's what God wants us to pray for and have. But sometimes it's not always easy believing, especially when he makes you wait. But have you ever prayed for something like Jesus did in the garden? Yeah, I don't think I have either. But this kind of prayer is more than hard work. Maybe I have. There have been a couple times I have just been at wit's end, and all I could do was just pour my heart out to God, cry out to God. And to be honest with you, God's faithful. And sometimes I wonder, why don't I do that for every major crisis? I think in my mind that people ought to share the wealth, and somebody else ought to pray like that. But it's not just hard work; it's intense warfare. And this is the kind of prayer that the flesh resists. Because I know we can get in those seasons of intense praying, but sometimes I don't want to do it. Just like sometimes I don't want to pick up stuff I see on the floor anymore. It's a kind of prayer that the world and the carnal mock at. You know, I used to have a lot of men in my church who say, well, I don't need to pray for that. I just get out there and do it. And now it's refreshing to hear them say, hey, let's get together and let's pray before we do this. Oh, that is so much better. And then it's the kind of prayer that the devil fears. You know that I think, and I could be right, I could be wrong, I could be half right or half wrong, but I think that our prayer lives are the only thing the devil fears about us. And so we have to pray. So when you don't feel like praying, you better pray, and you better pray and pray and pray until you feel like praying, until you're desperate to pray. So that's the freedom of prayer. And then there's the fervency of prayer without ceasing. And then let's look at the fellowship in prayer. Acts chapter 12, verse number 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. Who was it made by? Of the church of God. I love the song this morning. I like that song. I should call him Pastor Weiss instead of Brian. When I first went to our church, they had trouble calling me pastor. And a lot of people would call me Brian. And some people will get offended, saying, that's the pastor, you need to respect him and all this stuff. And I was just kind of embarrassed just being called pastor, period. So I said, why don't you just call me doctor? So then people started calling me Dr. Pyatt. And that became such a wonderful joke. People were buying me shirts, trust me, I'm a doctor, all these different things. But if I do call you Brian by accident, it's no disrespect intended. It's just because I know you. I like to say my own name. Fellowship and prayer. According to these Greek folks, they tell us that the church is the ecclesia, which means we are the called out ones, and we are called to pray. I tell my church that when we meet for prayer, it is the most important and powerful meeting going on in the universe. And I believe that's true of every Spirit-filled church or every Spirit-filled group of believers who are getting together and to pray. And if you will, I don't really turn that much in my Bible because, you know, down through the years I've learned, with the older folks in our church, they have, at the end, we have one entrance out of the door, so they have to most of them have to shake my hand. Some of them skip by me. But if you understand pastoring, well, in my church, you know, you get the sermon on the way out of the church. That's the other sermon. And a lot of times it's like, I can't find that passage, and you keep turning this passage, and okay, I'm sorry, I'll try to be a little more careful. Or the folks with the hearing aids, you yelled. I go, I know, I'm sorry. And but anyway, you got to be accommodating to folks at times. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 19. The church, the fellowship in prayer. We are called out. We are called to pray. Like I said, I tell my church that when we have prayer meeting, that is the greatest meeting going on in the universe. And if you have prayer meeting, if you guys get together, that is the greatest meeting going on in the universe. We have prayer before service. That is one of the greatest meetings going on in the universe. If you're like me, I like to watch Trump. I like to watch, he even has his cabinet meetings on the press there for those. But the prayer meeting is even more greater than those meetings. Look over at Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 19. And I wish I could tell you more about what all these mean, but I want to put these thoughts into you, at least in your mind. He says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I want you to notice and highlight one word in that passage, and that's the word whatsoever. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 through 20. Verily I say unto you, whosoever, or whatsoever, there's that word again, ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, I'm sure these passages can be interpreted much better, and if you can find the better interpretation, or someone else is giving you that better interpretation, I'm not trying to challenge that. I'm just going to say that I think they apply to the power that God wants in our prayer meetings. The fellowship of God. The most important meeting in going on in the universe is the prayer meeting. Amazing things happen when churches pray together in freedom, in fervency, and in fellowship. And if the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem had to pray, I know that's not probably technically true, but I like to say, especially if you come from my part of the world where the Baptists have this like strong affiliation with John the Baptist. But anyway, we must pray. So if you're a quarter-time member, a half-time member, or a full-time member of this church, you need to strive together in praying for this church. We must be united in our prayers. Churches operate according to their prayers. We have some folks come to our church and they say, "Wow, we like your church because you have the old-fashioned prayer meeting on Wednesday night where we have a large list." It is a large list, but we pass it out. But we take 15 minutes of quiet prayer and we just pray. And here lately, I'm getting a lot of feedback from people who say, "My favorite part of your Wednesday night message, I think it's the Bible study." No, it's that 15 minutes of quiet prayer. I guess the Bible study's all right, but yeah, the 15 minutes of quiet prayer. Don't we emphasize so many things in this life, but sometimes we don't emphasize the most important, like prayer? This church, 1907, how much prayer do you think was offered in this church? This pastor who's been here over 45, how much prayer have you spent on this church? And others, my goodness. Hopefully one day, and when we get to heaven, we get the readout. And then faith and prayer. We are called to have faith. Acts chapter 12, verse number 5. The Bible says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. There's the faith, unto God. We are called to have faith in God when we pray. When we pray, we're not trying to impress God. We are imploring God. This morning, it was kind of funny. I got this like this rush of adrenaline when we were praying together in the pastor's office with the young men, and maybe the more mature men. Mature. But anyway, I was thinking, oh, man, maybe I should pray. And I was thinking, well, what should I say? I should probably say something exciting or deep, thought-provoking. Pastor Pyatt from New Mexico. Pray something New Mexican. I don't know what to pray. But you know, we're not trying to impress God. We're trying to implore God. Have you ever thought about if you had the opportunity to speak to the president or to maybe another very influential person, would you think about what you're going to say to him? One time, one of my friends, the President Trump, wanted to have a bunch of Hispanic pastors go to Washington, and he got invited. And he was asking me, even though, you know, I guess I could be Hispanic. I could be pretty much anything, whatever, wherever I'm at. I could. But anyway, I go, "Well, are you going?" And he goes, "No, I hate Trump." And I go, "Oh, shucks, man." But he goes, "But I voted for him." And then, "But you can go, you know, my place or whatever." "No, I don't want to go, but I will go with you." But if I was there, I tell him, I was thinking, what would I, if he gave me an opportunity, what would I say to him? You know, "Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again? Do you have some good people telling you what God's Word says?" I don't know. I was just thinking about all these things. Well, do you realize when we go to God in prayer, we're going to the, I mean, Trump is a peon. I hope that's not offensive to anybody. Compared to God of the universe? Wouldn't you want to get in there and tell him what you think about what you want to say? Tell him what you want to say, and then you have his ear. I mean, I could probably tell Trump all kinds of things. He'd probably just forget about it, or he got, you know, it's not important to him. It's important to God. I don't think we understand the wonder and the privilege that we have as Christians I don't think we understand the wonder and the privilege that God has given us to pray as Christians. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says we can literally barge into the throne room of heaven. We can speak boldly or speak freely. We can tell him every single thing about us. He knows it all anyway. You might as well tell him. You can ask him the things you want to ask him. You can tell him the things you want to tell him. I mean, we have a wonderful, wonderful privilege. We are fools when we do not take advantage of our opportunities to pray. Let me show you another verse. If you will, hold your place here in Acts chapter 12. And I used to look at this verse, in fact, I still look at this verse, as one of those like blank check verses. Like if somebody ever gave me a blank check and said, fill it in, and they meant it. I think a few people have done that, but they didn't really mean it. And but if someone just said, here's a blank check, just fill in the amount. Man, I couldn't squeeze enough zeros on there. You know what I mean? But look at Matthew 21 and verse number, well, look at verse 22, just for time's sake. There's no time back there, so I guess I don't know how long. Oh, there it is. I see it. Thank you. It's right here. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Do you believe that? Kind of a more of an oh me, I think. Do you believe that? We ought to put our faith and trust in God and believe him to answer. Now let's look at the focus of prayer. Acts chapter 12, verse number 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for what? For Peter. They prayed for Peter. They were focused. Down through the years, I've heard people say you need to be more specific in your prayers because, you know, I do pray a lot of general prayers. But, you know, when we get really serious about something, it is amazing how specific we can be. And they prayed for Peter. They prayed for his life. They prayed for him to be spared. They prayed for him to probably get out of prison. And so you got to get specific. It is helpful to keep a prayer list. Does anyone ever do, are you, I better not ask for hands to be raised, but maybe you could answer in your hearts. But do you ever take the time, or are you disciplined enough to keep a prayer journal or a prayer list? You know, that's not always easy because we're easily distracted and we're not disciplined, I think, a lot of times about the most important things. But I have done so. I don't always do so. But I've done so in the past, and I've kept it on my computer, just like on a Microsoft Word document, and I'll have my request, and then I'll have the answer, then I'll highlight it. And it is absolutely amazing that the things that you pray for and you're asking God for, and down through the years, you see the highlighted, like, wow, he answered that. One time, I remember our church, our well was running dry. And I remember we have a Bible Institute, and one of the people that were attending the Bible Institute were not from our church, and they were washing dishes because they'd have meals before the Bible Institute, and they turned on the water, and that water just was spitting out this red clay, and it got all over her dress. And the husband says, I want to meet you tomorrow, Pastor. Do you have time to meet me tomorrow? I was like, oh, man, he's going to make me buy his dress. And so he came in there, and he's like, well, do you mind if I tear up this parking lot? And I go, why? He goes, well, there's water 400 feet that way, and I can connect you to city water. And he had a water company, and it was at that time, because it's just pure rock. I think Pastor Weiss was telling me that here in Missouri that there's just a layer of dirt and then rock. That's how it was in New Mexico. And so it was going to cost us $10,000 100 feet to move it ourselves. And he says, I will donate all of that if you just let me tear up your parking lot. And so that was so nice. And just this giant jackhammer for like 2 weeks, just vibrating everything. And now we have water. We used to have this pressure tank that if our water dropped, we have to have some guy hold the switch on the pressure tank and build it back up. If a toilet was flush on the backside of the building, it knocked our pressure tank off, so someone's back there holding it, trying to build pressure in our pressure tank, and now we just have water. We just take it for granted. And so if you trust God, I mean, it's amazing what God can do. And I think it is very helpful to keep a prayer list or a prayer journal. Basically, I pray, and this is what I promise my church. And I think it's about the size of this church. I said, I will pray for each and every one of you every day. And by God's grace, I have been able to do that. I spend an hour in prayer every morning. And you might think that's not very much. That's a lot. And so I got this prayer, and I have watched people change. In my church, I think I have the freedom and the opportunity to say things directly to them that may not be as always as easy for them to swallow, but because I spend that time in prayer. And they can get mad at me all they want or whatever. Maybe they get offended for a week or two or maybe longer. But at the same time, you know, they've been prayed for. They've been brought before the throne room of God. And I know the requests I have for them, and sometimes I see the changes, and it's just amazing. And you're smiling and you're laughing because you're going, like, why is these things happening to me? You're like, thank you, Lord. Anyway, you get the idea. The last thing I want to mention is faithfulness of God. Look at Acts chapter 12, verses 15 and 16. And they said unto her, thou art mad. They're calling her a mad woman because she's telling the prayer meeting that, hey, Peter's at the door here. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. You know, some people said, well, I guess a lot of people use that portion there to prove that we do have guardian angels. No, it's not Peter. It must be his angel. Then in verse 16, but Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were what? Oh, just like that big jackhammer that was hooking us up to city water. Just like the myriads of prayers that we prayed for, just what we're expecting. We're expecting my son to get right. He has no reason to be bitter. God has been good to him. God is still good to him. Just as we're expecting other things, aren't we? Whole number of things that we're praying for. And some of these things are things that only God can do. Only God can do. And when he does it, oh man, it's amazing. It's a praise the Lord moment. I don't know what you're praying for, but let me just tell you this. God will never let you down. Never. This dear pastor can probably tell you over the years, God never fails, right? Never. It's impossible. So let me leave you with a closing admonition. Luke chapter 18. And verse number 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, and you should read the parable, by the way, it's an extremely tremendous story, that men ought, O-U-G-H-T, every time you see that word in the Old King James Bible, that is the ought of obligation. We are obligated always to pray and not to faint. Because God is good. When it comes to prayer, we must keep asking, seeking, and knocking.